You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. The kids are out of school, adventure's the focus, but for others, such as me, juggling it can be tough. It can lead to overwhelm and counting down the minutes and days till those kids are back at school and the cooler weather arrives. Others may be worrying they're wasting their days of sunshine. Now, I'm not one of those people. For me, hot weather and me do not mix. Now, personally, I have a therapist myself, so I can speak openly and honestly about how sometimes those seemingly irrelevant conversations with my therapist can go on to better my life. Because therapy can help you understand your own needs better. It can make you feel more confident, set boundaries, create a version of summer that actually feels good for you, whatever summer looks like for you. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform. It's served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. Not all of our minisodes need to be from listeners. In fact, places or lesser-known cases can sometimes take us to dark realms. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another installment, indeed our penultimate installment of Dark Realms. And today's Dark Realm that we will look at is slightly different in the fact that it was suggested to me by a skeptical member of my family who'd been to visit this particular area in early spring. They brought it up in conversation, stating, and I must say, understating, that this place is meant to be haunted. So, of course, I'd done some research on this place. And yes, to say they undersold it would be the understatement of the century. So much so, in fact, that I'm genuinely surprised that I've never heard of this place, given it's in the UK. Because today's Dark Realm that we will take a look at is in Dorset, and it's the Sandford Orcas Manor. So please take a little break for yourself this Monday and join me as we find out all about this dark realm. Now, we all know, in fact, we all listen to usually every week, that usually old houses seem to be haunted by mainly one ghost, mainly one story. A murdered woman on a staircase, a grey lady in a window, a phantom coach pulling up the drive. Sandford Orcas Manor, near Sherborne in Dorset, is one of the very few exceptions to that rule. It's not remembered for one ghost. It's remembered as a house that seems to collect them. The manor stands in the small village of Sandford Orcas. It sits beside the church, built of pale ham stone, gabled and unmistakably Tudor. The present house was built around 1550 for Edward Noyle, on land whose name reaches back to the Normandy Oriscules family. The Noyles, Catholic in Elizabeth's England and royalist during the Civil War, chose their loyalties badly. By the mid-17th century, the house was mortgaged. By 1674, foreclosure had begun. And by about 1700, the Noyles were gone. After that came absentee owners, tenant farmers, long quiet for decades. And later, the Hutchings and Medlicott line. In the 1870s, the old house was restored with surprising care. And in the late 20th century, it was repaired once again. Roof, plumbing, wiring, stonework, survival. But between these restorations came the period that created its most infamous reputation. You see, from the mid-1960s to the late 1970s, Sanford Orchard's manor was leased by Colonel Francis Claridge and his wife. It was during their tenancy that the house's ghost population seemed to multiply. Women in red, white, green, and black. A fox terrier, monks, a priest, a farmer, a footman, a screaming young man behind a door, and perhaps even children who did not like other children entering their room. Skeptics would later argue that the legend became too numerous to trust. Sir Mervyn Medlicott, who inherited the house after the Claridge tenancy, reportedly believed the stories had been exaggerated or even invented to attract visitors. And though, even if we place these claims under the cold lamp of doubt, the stories themselves have most definitely settled into the stone. We're not here to judge them as in a courtroom. We're entering them, as we do with the dark paranormal, with some of our disbelief left at the door. Therefore, we will take a look, as usual, at the house's three best-known apparitions. Three histories, three steps down into the house that apparently collects ghosts. Firstly, we will take a look at the spirit known as the woman on the lawn. Our first spirit begins not in the depths of the manor, but the outside, the lawn. The house had already closed to visitors for the day. Imagine that particular hour when a public building becomes private once more. The doors latched, any voices meandering and left, gravel silent, light fading on those old windows. Colonel Claridge was making his rounds, and he saw a woman coming through the gate. She was described, unlike the other grander ladies said to haunt the manor in red silk or white, as unelegant. This woman was unkempt, dirty, out of place. She walked through the gate and onto the grass as if she had every right to be there, and as if Colonel Claridge himself did not exist. So he went after her. Here the story becomes simple, and therefore slightly unnerving. No shriek, no thunder, no gothic performance. The woman merely continued across the lawn. Then, as the colonel approached, she vanished. The reported wording says she seemed to, and I quote, melt into thin air. Another retelling adds that a chill came with it, a sudden coldness on a relatively warm night. Now that detail matters, because as we all know, it's much more common for apparitions to be seen as opposed to felt. A later visitor, Julie Newman, recalled being taken on a ghost tour by Colonel Claridge in 1971, and said he showed us a few pictures of the lady in the garden. Of course, that does not prove the ghost, but it does prove the tale had already become part of the manor's living theatre. And our first spirit, the lady on the lawn, is perhaps the most fitting introduction to Sanford Orchards. Not violent, not explanatory, just a woman crossing a forbidden ground, still entering the house's orbit, still vanishing before anyone can question her. A ghost that offers no story may be more disturbing than one that does, because it leaves the house to speak on her behalf. Next, we will take a look at James Divitch,
the farmer in the smock. And this second tale brings us closer to the working life of the manor, to the kitchens, the service passages, the gates, the trapdoors, and debt.
Money goals are things we all have. My personal one is to make sure that I'm mortgage free by age 50. How am I getting towards that goal? I'm 46, and in 4 years, do I think I'm going to get there? Well, I'm unfoundedly optimistic. But here's the most interesting thing. We only like to talk about money when we've made it, when that goal is achieved. Now, you've probably got our well-being app. Well, Acorns is a financial wellness app that wants to show a little love to everyone who's on their way to a goal. Some people shy away from the word investing because it seems like it's a word for people who know about finance, etc. Believe me, that's not a prerequisite. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. Acorns is easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your money, even if you've just got spare change. Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. Plus, the app has the Acorns Potential screen, which shows you the power of compounding and how your money could grow over time. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Believe me, I've never seen something like the Acorns Potential screen showing the power of compounding. And even that word, compounding, we all believe that belongs to the ones who work in Wall Street. It doesn't. It's yours as much as theirs. So sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a £5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who already have saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started.
Paid on client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
You've got that idea, you've got that product, you've got that thought, you've got that app, you've got that podcast, you've got whatever. I've been there with the podcast. And you think to yourself, will this work? Is this the right decision? Do I have the time? Take the jump. That's my personal advice. Because starting something new isn't just hard, it's terrifying. So much work goes into this thing that you're not entirely sure will work out. It can be so hard to take that leap of faith. Trust me, I know. For me, it was, what if no one listens? What if I make a fool of myself? And nearly 8 years in, I'm now the director of my own company because of podcasting, because of making that leap of faith. Now, whatever your business idea is, it always helps to have a partner like Shopify on your side to help. Get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. Get that word out like you've got a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. But what if I get stuck, you may say? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. It's time to turn those what-ifs into... with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/darkparanormal. Go to shopify.com/darkparanormal. That's shopify.com/darkparanormal.
So summer has well and truly arrived, at least here in the UK. We're in the midst of a heat wave. I don't like the heat for one simple reason. I cannot dress for the heat. I don't wear shorts. I always wear jeans, or usually. However, since my last advert for Quince, where I mentioned that my friend in America has been sending me things from Quince that I order through them, and I found the quality to be outstanding, I decided to take another look back at Quince to see what they had on offer. And let me just say, my summer wardrobe is looking altogether different this year. Like I say, I don't do shorts, so Quince's European linen pants were perfect. They arrived the other day, and we're in the midst of a heatwave, as I mentioned, and they are perfect. Given I'm a summer jeans wearer, these have never made my legs feel more cool in any summer on record. Not just that, but because Quince focus on quality essentials that feel and look amazing, they are well-made basics, but without that luxury markup. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They also work ethically with ethical factories and cut out middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. It's genuinely the kind of brand you end up recommending to everyone for everything. Well, most people will. I'll talk about my linen pants because I can wear them at a barbecue in the afternoon, going straight through to evening drinks. Quince's linen pants have changed the way I'm going to dress this summer. So elevate your wardrobe this summer. Go to quince.com/darkparanormal for free shopping on your order and get 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/darkparanormal for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/darkparanormal. Among the most repeated apparitions at Sanford Orcas is the farmer in the smock. Some accounts name him as James Davidge, a tenant farmer from the 18th century who, allegedly, fell into financial ruin. The legend holds that, under the weight of failure, he hung himself from a trapdoor inside the house or under the gatehouse arch, dependent on the telling. But that uncertainty in itself is important. Haunted histories often blur at the edges. A name may remain, a death may remain. But where it took place can occasionally shift. However, what does not shift in this story is the figure. This figure is seen in old working clothes, a white smock, a farmer's hat. Not a romanticized gentleman ghost, but a laboring man returning to the very house that may have witnessed his despair. During filming in the 1960s, a BBC production worker reportedly saw him. One account says he was seen from or near the kitchen area. Another places the encounter in an upper hall. But what survives the strongest is the description. The witness saw a figure in an old-fashioned farmer's hat and smock. Then came the explanation. She'd not seen a member of staff. She'd seen the dead farmer. The story goes she became ill with fright and refused to return. And this is where the haunting darkens. The farmer is not said to attack. He doesn't throttle, smother, or scream. Instead, he intrudes into the present like a stain the house can't scrub away. A man ruined by money, a man found hanging. A man still walking in the clothes of labour, appearing before modern people and cameras and TV lights, as if even the 20th century couldn't scare him away. If the first ghost is a question, then the farmer is a residue, not a message, a repetition. And repetition in ghost lore, as we know, is its own kind of damnation. And our third and arguably darkest tale is that of the footman in the room. It's the darkest because it changes the nature of the haunting. The woman is seen on the lawn. The farmer appears, but the footman touches. The legend says he was a Georgian footman, tall, predatory, and feared by the female servants of the manor. In life, he was said to have abused his position, terrorizing the women in the house. Some versions claim he attacked village girls or maids. He was arrested. He was imprisoned. And died in disgrace. Others say only that he was known for his cruelty. The details vary, but the character of this ghost do not. He is not merely restless, he's malicious. His presence is associated with one particular room and with the tapping sounds heard throughout the night. Colonel Claridge's daughter, curious, or perhaps determined not to be frightened by family stories, decided to sleep in this room and discover the truth for herself. That decision became the whole hinge of the legend. She lay down, the house settled. Whatever sounds had been heard before
whatever tapping had drawn attention to the room, there was now a living woman alone in the place where the dead footman was said to linger. But she heard no taps, she heard no sounds. She fell asleep. Then after she'd fallen asleep, she was woken violently. Some accounts claim she was thrown from the bed. Others focus on the hands, invisible hands, cold hands around her throat. One retelling preserves the phrase, strong, cold, icy hands. Haunted Britain describes icy, though invisible, fingers. Either way, the image is horrible. No figures at the end of the room, no shapes passing in the doorway. Just pressure on your neck from someone that cannot be seen. She fought. She escaped. And according to the legend, she refused to enter the house again after dark. This is the point where Sandford Orcas becomes more than picturesque Tudor folklore. The footman's story is not a charming ghost on the stairs. It's a predator. A rumour of old violence repeating itself in this private room. And the most terrifying part is not simply that she was attacked. It's that the room already had a reputation. The tapping came first, as though something in the dark was knocking for attention. As though it wanted someone to come in. And when she did, it smiled with glee from the shadows of the room that a victim had finally arrived. Sandford Orcas Manor may be history. It may be exaggeration and it may be folklore. Or it may be a mix of all three. Its skeptics do have good reason to doubt. Though if we've learned anything, its haunted houses do not survive only through proof. They survive through atmosphere, fear, and repetition. And Sandford Orcas has all three. The woman who crosses the lawn before melting away. A ruined farmer returning in his smock. And in one small room, something unseen and unfathomably evil reaches for your throat. And let us not forget that the nickname The House That Collects Ghosts was not put on this place by me. There are literally a plethora of spirits that we haven't discussed on this episode. So, just what is it about that area, indeed that manor, that seems to draw the dead from eternal rest? Well, perhaps they were never granted that, and so they decided to stay at the one place they knew best, Sandford Orcas Manor. So a huge thank you to my amazing cousin for telling me about this amazing place. And Sandford Orcas Mansion is a place definitely worth looking into. The spirits we did not cover are themselves enough to fill a book. And so if anyone is looking for a jump-off point, that's one for you to go and search out. In the meantime, I'd like to thank all of you for joining me here for our penultimate Dark Realms of Season 24. I can't wait to speak to you all again for our finale of Dark Realms in 2 weeks' time. And until then, stay safe and take care.